Behind the Beats with Jess Bowen and Bowie J.
G'day, it is Bowie Jane with Jess Bowen for Babes Behind the Beats, and it is the new year, and Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. Wow, Bowie, it's been a while since we've done this. I don't remember how to talk into a microphone.
I literally forgot how to introduce myself.
We have forgotten like, how to speak, everyone.
Oh my God, crazy, because basically the lead up to Christmas, we were both flat out and you were on Jingle Balls, right?
Yeah, the Jingle Ball tour. I was on with Jax, who's a friend of mine. And man, that tour was just insane. It was so wild. It was so much fun. But yeah, that was what I was on like right before Christmas. So you and I haven't seen each other like in a while.
No, actually, because I think last time we spoke, you were worried you wouldn't be able to do the tour. And then yes. You were given the heads up by your surgeon that you could do it. It was going to hurt, but you could do it. Right. And then you have your surgery, right?
Yeah, yeah. Essentially, like for anyone who hasn't caught up with it or is just tuning in, listening as a new listener or follower or whatever, I, as a drummer, got, you know, it was the worst thing that could happen. I basically got diagnosed with a slap tear shoulder injury. So, I had a tear in my shoulder that was like building up all this fluid. And so basically what that did was it just created a ton of pain. So I had to leave tour with Tessa Violet early because I was in too much pain to play. And then I was basically playing through the pain to play some of my Somerset shows because I was like, well, I can't miss this. You know, I kind of felt like I had to do it. And then when I saw the doctor, you know, he basically said, okay, you can play the drums until you get surgery because I couldn't get into surgery until January. And so this was November when he was talking to me about this. So he basically told me, you can do the Jingle Ball tour. You will just probably be in pain. He's like, you can live your life normally. It's just if you can deal with being in pain while you're playing the drums. So essentially he said that wouldn't make it worse. It was just kind of, I would just have to deal with whatever pain that came along with it. So
yeah.
And so it was worth it.
I mean, that was a freaking massive thing. I was, for anyone who didn't get to see it, Jess was like all over the TV. I was like madly filming it going, oh my God, there she is.
Oh man. I mean, it was funny. Yeah. Cause they filmed, that was the Madison Square Garden show, which was,
yeah.
First of all, it's insane. I still don't think I can believe that I played Madison Square Garden. Like it feels like a blur because that's like bucket list for anyone in the world, right? Madison Square Garden is the absolute bucket list venue to play.
Yeah. Can you talk us through that whole day? Cause I'm fascinated by do you have to go in really early cause it's a big stadium for rehearsal or like what's the whole process?
So that show in particular was probably, I don't know, at least 5 or 6 shows into the tour. So we'd already had some, of the stuff under our belt as far as knowing when you show up to sound check and all that stuff. So for a big show like that and on a tour like Jingle Ball, we as like one of the openers only get to do a full sound check maybe the first and second day of the tour. And then it turns into what's called just a line check for the rest of the tour. Uh-huh. So basically you get a 10-minute slot to go on stage and you plug in your instruments, sit down, sing and play. I play drums and you basically just listen to make sure that your in-ear mix is good and that the front of house is getting all the channels, right? All the lines. So that's only a 10-minute thing that you get.
And that's earlier in the day, right? So, and it's not set and then like they keep changing. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that usually would happen anywhere between 3 and 5 PM every day. And it did kind of vary, like for instance, at Madison Square Garden. So we had 2 shows that day. We had a daytime show that we played for, the Kiss FM radio station in New York. So they basically put on like a pre-show, where it was like Jax and then Lauren Spencer Smith. And I think Nikki Yor played it. So it was like a bunch of the artists that were on and off of Jingle Ball. Not every artist played Jingle Ball, but some of them did. And so we had that daytime show. So we had to be at that venue, which was across the street from Madison Square Garden, at 8 a.m. to soundcheck.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, that is like, a musician's worst nightmare. None of us are morning people,
No, that's bad.
It's horrible. So the night before, I made sure not to go out. But that morning, yeah, so we had sound check for that first show at like 8 a.m. And then basically from 8 until our show, the first show started at 2 p.m., but then we had our line check literally at like 3:15 at Madison Square Garden.
Oh,
so
shit.
You had to, from after the show, like run over to Madison Square Garden. But mind you, I had to go to Madison Square Garden around 12 o'clock that day to set up my drums, because on a tour like this, I don't have a drum tech. There's not really people. Like, there's some stagehands that will help. So I had to, like, from the first venue, go across the street and get into Madison Square Garden, which is like such a shit show, because obviously it's so – arenas are hard, which is like rightfully so, way harder to get into. You can't just flash a laminate. You can't just be like, I'm on the tour. They do a whole, like, you have to find the entrance to check in. It's like an artist check-in area. Then they have to completely, like, make sure it's like, okay, show me your forms of identification and all this stuff, because and it's just, it's a hassle. It's hard to find. It's a huge arena. How do I know where to go, you know? So that takes me like an hour just to even find where I have to get to. And then I'm setting up my drums. And New York has this rule that you they have – it's because it's union. It's a, like a union that works. Oh. So they have to take a break from 1 to 2 p.m. Like, it's a mandatory thing. So I got there at like 1 o'clock by the time I ended up getting in to start setting up my drums. And here comes this guy yelling at me, put those stuff down. Stop setting up. You can't be touching anything. And I was like, yo, like, I'm the drummer. I have to set up right now. I have a show across the street in like literally 45 minutes. And then I have to come back here to sound check. I don't have time to set up my drums. And he's like, you literally, like, legally cannot touch your drums right now, or they will get fined like it was literally $1 million, $1 million. Like, it was a full on, it wasn't an exaggeration. They would get fined $1 million.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, well, so I ended up like sitting there for an hour, and then I needed them. I had them like help me set up my drums in like 5 minutes, like the second that I could, because yeah, then I had to run across the street, play that show. And then once that show was over, pack up all my stuff, come across the street and get straight onto stage for that line check.
So we're talking carrying everything?
No, two different drum sets.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so what I meant was I had to – at Madison Square Garden, there's a drum set there for me that was on the tour, but I had to set it up.
Is everyone using the same drum set?
No, I had my own for that tour. They have like a backline company.
Okay.
And that backline company supplies kits to everyone. So it's like – yeah, so you can request whatever you need as far as like music equipment goes. So,
oh my God, the logistics.
Oh, the logistics are crazy. Yeah. And then, so then, of course, like I said, because of that, across the street, they had to have a separate drum kit for me ready to go that I had to set up in the morning, because, yeah, you can't literally, there's no way to be like, you have to get someone to bring all this equipment and gear across the street. You just have to have two separate drum kits.
Oh my gosh. So then you did your line check.
Line check.
Yeah. And then like, how long is it until you're on stage?
To be honest, it is a lot of like sitting and waiting. We finished the line check at that day, probably around like 4:30, maybe 5 o'clock latest. And then we don't play till, I think it was 7:15 or so.
That's quite a long break. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like over 2 hours where you're just like, okay, what do I do? But you know, it's New York City, so there's, you know, Jax had a ton of family there. So we were pretty entertained because people were just coming in and out of the backstage room.
Oh.
And then you have, oh, the best part is you have catering every day, which is so great because the food is usually pretty great. And you just like walk to the catering room and it's just free food. So at any time of the day, you can just be like, oh, I'm hungry. I'm going to go get this snack. And there's like always coffee and like beverages in there. No alcohol, mind you, but don't worry. We had that on the rider.
What was on your rider for this? Because it's obviously a bit different to what you normally do.
I because it was just a last minute thing that I decided to do with Jax, it wasn't like, she doesn't have a tour manager or anyone that like really made a rider or reached out to the band members to do it. But what's great is that she already had things on the rider that I would put on it. Like, she has string cheese. That was like my biggest thing nowadays, is I want string cheese around just to have as a snack. And she has that. So she has that on the rider. And then, you know, just the typical like a fruit and veggie tray, stuff like that, some deli meat. And then, oh, Celsius. She already had that on the rider. I was like, I'm so happy.
Maybe she listened to our episodes.
Yeah. She just copied my rider, I guess. No kidding. But no, then she has whiskey. So she drinks whiskey, right? Which you're obviously a whiskey drinker. I drank whiskey the first night of that tour because I was like, well, this is what's back here. That was a big mistake. I threw up. I threw up the next day. I was on an airplane the next day, and I don't know if I told you this story.
No.
And I don't know if this is TMI. Sorry, listeners. If you need to edit this out, you can. But I was so hungover. I've never been this hungover in my entire life. Thank God I had a row to myself. But I was on takeoff. Like, you know, you can't get out of your seat because you're taking off.
Yeah.
I had to throw up. So I'm wearing a beanie like this, and I take it off of my head, and I throw up into my beanie.
But wasn't there an air sick bag?
There wasn't an air sick bag. There wasn't a throw up bag in there.
Oh.
Which is why, so I couldn't get up. There were no bags for me to throw up in. And, you know, once you have to throw up, it's like a quick, you have to make a quick decision. It's not like you have time to be like, well, let me see what's in my backpack. It's like, no, I'm literally about to vomit. So I just pull off the beanie that's on my head and I threw up into it.
And it is not the beanie that she's wearing right now.
Nope. Yes, actually it is. No.
Once I was so hungover, all the plane did was reverse and I threw up.
Oh my God. But it was, yeah. Did you throw up into a bag? Like into one of the sick bags?
Yeah.
See, at least you had that. This was like an all-time low for me where I was like, there's literally no, it was like the universe was really trying to tell me like, stop drinking whiskey. You can never drink whiskey. This is your reminder.
Imagine if Jax had been sitting next to you. Did anyone see?
I guess not, because I was in the window seat and the aisle seat was empty and there was people in the row over from me. But I guess because I just like kind of turned into the window area and did it real quick. But I'm like, they surely had to have noticed that I like really quickly took my beanie off and then also wasn't wearing a beanie anymore. I don't know. Maybe they didn't care. There's like an old couple. So
how long was the flight? That you
it
had
was
to hold
like
that beanie for
3 hours. So I like had that beanie on the floor and then I went back and then I had to go into the back. Once they like turned the seatbelt sign off, I just went back and like threw it in the trash can.
Oh, that's good. I forgot that you could just throw it out. Well, I think that was, you know, smart.
I mean, it's resourceful, right? Like what else was I going to do? Just throw up into myself or on the seat next to me? Like that would have been worse. Would have been kicked off the flight probably.
I think you were smart.
That was that was definitely not my finest moment of the tour, but I learned from there and I requested that we get vodka on the rider, my usual drink that doesn't make me puke.
It's so funny because like people would be like, oh, and then she quit drinking. No, she changed to vodka.
No, then I was like, sorry, need the vodka now.
And you've been good ever since.
And yeah, exactly. It's all I needed was them to switch it to vodka. And then the rest of the tour was great. No more throwing up. No more vomiting into beanies.
Tell me about the actual Madison Square Garden show. So you're sitting around. There's a lot of sitting around. You got three hours sitting around. And then what's the whole thing, the lead up? Like, is there a lot more going on? Like people directing you and you've got to be here?
Yeah, there's definitely you obviously have your backstage area that stays pretty calm for the most part. But if you walk into the huge, you know, there's a – like you have your own separate room backstage. But the backstage area in an arena, I mean, there's obviously a ton of things going on. You've got the tour production itself, which has, you know, there a ton of people working for the tour to make sure the tour runs smoothly. Plus each team has their own dressing room. So you've got all these Jingle Ball people that are running around that are like – telling you, hey, okay, 5 minutes till showtime, till band needs to be on stage. Band, get on stage at this time. You've got the people that are walking you up to your riser on the turntable. It's a great setup because what they do is they have a turntable that turns around on the stage. So a band is already set up behind that people can't see. So then when it's time for another band to come on, it just turns. And then it's like a way quicker, it's way quicker than normal shows changeover because, you know, you've got the people that are running on stage, taking off the drum kits, putting in the new drum kits and the guitar amps and all the risers, blah, blah, blah. So this makes it so streamlined, so easy. And there's just a ton of people working behind the scenes to make sure it's all smooth. And I love that they had a lot of females working. Our stage manager was this badass chick who was running the show. Emily was one of the tour production people who was also amazing. And she kind of, you know, there were just badass women backstage that literally made the show run.
Wow.
I feel like more women than men, which was like really, really just refreshing.
We should get her on the show.
We should. Yeah. I would love to get any and all of them on it because they're just – they really, it's like at a show of that scale to make it run that smoothly every night. You're running the same show every night and it's running to the exact second perfectly.
Wow.
And I mean, that just takes a team of some badass people to make sure that that happens. And they were amazing, like just great people to work with.
I think I saw on your Instagram, actually, we should post it on our Instagram, the rotating stage. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So is there the band that's just performed or performing, you're setting up on the other half? There's just two bands on the stage at once, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, everything's basically already, so you don't even set it up yourself. Like my drums are already set up on a riser, and they just roll that riser onto the platform, like the stage, right? Wow. And then they set it up. And then so our guitarist, Andrea, she's also set up on a riser. So the riser's already set there. And then we just step up on that riser, and then you're sitting there as it turns, and the crowd's just like cheering as they like see this thing, you know, turning. It's really cool. It's such an adrenaline rush too. But with that being said, that's why it makes the show feel like such a blur, because it's such an adrenaline rush. The second you step out of your dressing room into the backstage area with everything that's going on, just hundreds and hundreds of people, you're walking by like Demi Lovato and Charlie Puth and the Black Eyed Peas and Backstreet Boys. You're like, oh, hi, there's just Kevin from the Backstreet Boys. I love you. You're just like walking right next to them. And like, you know, like, it's just a wild feeling. You see Lizzo back there. And it was just like this show in particular had all the stars there. You know, it was Lizzo and Dua Lipa and all these huge artists that like you're just seeing them in person, and it just feels so surreal. But so you just walk to stage, you get up there, and it's literally our set was 12 minutes. We only play 3 songs every night. So that's also why it feels like such a blur. You get up there and then it's over and you like almost don't remember it. But a cool thing about that show in particular is – you know that song Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus?
Yes.
That got huge. And so Wheatus, the singer of Wheatus, Brendan, came up and sang that song with Jack. So he was at the show on stage and did it with her. And that was a really cool thing. Because, I mean, what an iconic song. And it's like so cool to
have.
That was
right in front of you. Like,
yeah, he came up and they were just like right in front. It was so cool.
Oh, and like it was really cool because the cameras were just like right there. And I was like, there's Jess Bowen.
Yeah, no, so much fun and so cool, and he's a sweetheart.
Was it any different having him singing for you as a drummer, or you just play the song regardless? It doesn't really matter what happens.
Yeah, I just played. They actually did have a different arrangement for that day specifically because he was coming on stage, so they kind of would like basically he came to sing the second verse of the song. He would come on for the second verse and then sing the rest of the song with Jax. So we basically had to extend the post-chorus right before the second bridge came on so that Jax could do this whole speech and be like, and we've got Brendan from Wheatus here tonight. Let's bring him out on stage. You know, so you kind of had our music director make that part a little bit longer, but it didn't change too much of what I already play. And in my in-ears, we have those cues.
I was going to ask, what was in your in-ears?
Yeah, so luckily because, you know, the music directors know like if something's different, they'll make sure that there's a cue. So for instance, before Brendan comes on stage, it'll be like second verse, 2, 3, 4, and then you go into the second verse and that's when he knows to come in too. But yeah, I mean, in my inners, I've got my drums, got the whole tracks in my ears, a click blasting as loud as it can have it, and I've got Jax. And then I had Brendan, a guest vocal, basically in my ears as well so that I could hear him. Unfortunately, I couldn't hear him that well. You can never really get the guest vocal to be like where you want to sit it, especially when you only have a 10-minute sound check essentially.
Right.
So it sucked because I could have probably had more of him, but I was able to hear enough that I needed to like get through the song, you know.
And I know for me performing, I like the monitors, my fallback, like so loud that it's definitely going to make me deaf one day. Are you the same? And it's for atmosphere, it's kind of so that you're in the zone. Like, is it?
Yeah.
It's not just about being in time. It's about like just feeling the energy. Is that the same for you drumming?
Totally. I definitely have like my mix is very loud. I usually keep it, you know, like the click and the tracks the loudest because that's as a drummer what I need to actually be on time with.
Yeah.
So of course I want to hear Jax, I want to hear our guitarist, but the most important thing as a drummer is to stay on time with what the computer's playing. So that's usually what I have blasting the most. So I have dreams at night with literally like a click in my head that's like tick tick tick, where because like I'm just so used to hearing that that I feel like it's like just ingrained in my brain. Like when I die, that's what I'm gonna hear seconds before I die is a click track.
Oh my gosh. And are you, you're also hearing the stage manager in your ears?
So I turned off the yes, usually like we have talkback mics. So like if for instance our playback engineer needs to tell us like, hey, there's only 3 minutes left, we need to cut this verse or we need to not play this song or something, he can talk into our ears, but that gets turned off because otherwise you have that sound in your ears that ruins your mix. Essentially any other microphone that's on, you don't want it on because you're gonna get a ton of noise from wherever that microphone is. So you're gonna hear the crowd, you're gonna hear wherever they're sitting, I don't know, whatever it is. And so you really just, the talkback mics, I always have them pretty low in my mix, and then they also get turned off anyways once the show starts.
Can you adjust it, or you're relying on the audio engineers?
No, you have to have the monitor, not unfortunately, it's a good thing that you have a monitor engineer there, but it would be easier. Like for instance, with my own band, we have our phones connected to our monitor rig. So I'm able to just go onto an app on my phone while I'm playing or in between songs, and I can be in control of my own mix and turn things off or on or up or down. But in this case, I would turn on my talkback mic, which goes to the monitor guy, and I would tell him like, hey, I need a little more click, or hey, can you turn down Jax's mic a little bit, or can you turn her mic down or up a little bit? And then you would turn it off, and then he would do what he needs to do, and then go from there. So you have a way of people talking.
For those who may not realize, so there's there's someone doing the monitor, so what Jess is hearing, and there's someone who's doing the front of house. I think we've explained that before, but yeah, just maybe people who don't realize, but.
Right. There's just a lot of people that, you know, it takes a whole big team to make the show run, but they were all great. And the front of house engineer was absolutely amazing. He worked with he's worked with all the greats like Fleetwood Mac and Stevie Nicks and Jeff Beck and Rush and the Rolling Stones. Like he was just like a classic front of house guy that's been doing this with like the legends. So it was cool to have him doing our sound, and he was very complimentary, which was obviously very, very flattering.
So it was
when you're like, you've worked with the Rolling Stones and you thought we were good? Thanks.
You thought I was good? Amazing.
What? That's crazy.
So was someone like Dua Lipa using the same audio guy, or did they bring in their own?
Yeah, at that level they would bring in their own. Dua Lipa, all the bigger kind of acts that weren't maybe the opening artists per se would bring, like, you know, they've got their own monitor guy, they've got their front of house, they've got their whole, you know, tech team, they've got their guitar techs and all that. But for, you know, our team, for Jax's team, because, you know, it's still a small team, she's just recently blown up because of her song going, you know, crazy on radio and viral. It's a little bit more on the newer side. So it's like, you know, you hire just the drummer, the guitarist, and then she doesn't even have like a tour manager per se. Like her fiance Brave is, who's my friend as well, is out there kind of acting as the day-to-day and tour manager type thing, which he does kill it. But I know they're looking for an actual tour manager because it's hard without someone that like is really running the show behind the scenes.
And someone who knows all the little intricacies of the venues and what you've got to ask for. Especially when she tours, she'll need it, right?
Yeah. I know that for this year, they're definitely going to have it. I think for last year, especially for the Jingle Ball thing, it's all of it came together. Everything was so last minute. Everything comes together so fast that it's really hard to be like, okay, we need this and this. It's kind of like, okay, I need to have a band, and then I'll have my makeup artist and my boyfriend out with me as assistant, you know, like basically to run the show. And then her manager would fly to the cities as well and kind of help out behind the scenes. But it was pretty DIY on our end as a group. So.
Wow. I mean, that's just so cool. And just in finishing, tell me the feeling when you got off stage.
Oh, I think it was relief.
Bang, nothing went wrong. Oh my God.
Yes. Honestly, this was the one tour where every time I went on stage, I was nervous. And I think we've talked about this before where I was like, I don't really get nervous anymore. It's really hard for me to get nervous. But this was definitely the one tour that I was nervous every single show. And I didn't mention this. I didn't have a rehearsal with Jax, which is why I was even more nervous before every show, because the first time that I got to play songs with her was in an arena, like to 20,000 people. So I was like, every day it was just like, okay, I hope I'm doing this right. But then you get kind of scared to try something new because you don't want to, you know, do that in front of 20,000 people. So, you know, it definitely, every show was a little bit nerve-wracking for me because I was still not like fully it wasn't fully muscle memory yet since we hadn't rehearsed or anything.
Yeah, and we were discussing, well, I was saying to you that as a singer going out, if you're only doing like one or two or three songs, if you mess one up, you've messed up like a third of your set. So you don't really just, it's more nerve-wracking, I think, than doing a whole
set. It's super nerve-wracking to only do three songs. And that's why also getting off stage, yes, it was relief, but it was also like, damn, I was just getting in the groove. It always felt like you were finally getting to the point of like, I feel really good. And then it's like, oh, the show's over, like 12 minutes in. So, but no, it was, I mean, it's a blast. It's just such an adrenaline rush and it was relief, but also like, just celebratory. Every time we got off stage, it was like, that was the every show ended up being, that was the best show ever. And it was like, that was the best show ever. It just kept, every show was the best show ever.
And, you know, we always used to ask in our quiz, would you prefer to be the opener or the headline? And I would have thought for something like that, it's cool to be the opener, apart from maybe less audience, but then you're done. And then
you're done. No, literally, it's amazing. We would get to play and then you can just drink and watch all the other artists. I got to just watch my favorite artists like play shows every night and
so
have
cool.
fun. It was so much fun. Yeah, it was great.
Oh, well, that was, yeah, I just love hearing all about that behind the scenes and like so exciting to get to do Madison Square Gardens, my God. And that whole tour, everything was an arena. Amazing.
Yeah, so much fun. Very grateful to be able to have done it. So
Jess is now an arena drummer, guys. So if you need someone for an arena, she is your girl.
Come find me, please. It's the best.
All right. Well, thanks for chatting to me about that. And we'll speak to you next week.
Yeah, talk to you next week. Bye, Bowie.
Thanks for listening to Babes Behind the Beats with Jess Bowen and Bowie Jane. Head over to our Instagram, Babes Behind the Beats, and our TikTok, and send us a message over there on who you'd like on the show next.